Brothers and sisters, when Jesus was born in the land of Bethlehem, the shepherds and the Magi all rejoiced hearing the Savior's birth. The heavenly hosts and angels also rejoiced, praising God. But today, even as many people say in greetings, Happy Christmas, they don't know why they have to be happy. They just spend the day in worldly pleasures, seeing glamorous lights and hearing uplifting carols. They think about how they can enjoy the day as the year end arrives. As the year end season, they want to indulge in drinking and eating. This has become their culture. Some Christians just consider the day as one of the seasons, having forgotten its true meaning. An American psychologist professor handed out slips of paper to 40 students and told them to write down what came to mind first as they heard the word Christmas. There were many answers like Christmas, tree, present, turkey. In the States, on Christmas, they have turkey, family vacation, carols, parties, Santa, etc. But regrettably, none of them wrote Jesus, Savior, or anything that celebrates and rejoices with the birth of baby Jesus. As students of a mission school, they must have attended Bible classes and regular worship services, but as they spend each Christmas without Jesus, how lamentable this must have been in God's eyes. But all of you walking with the Lord and Ma-min are well aware of the meaning of Christmas through messages preached on the altar. And on Christmas, we have various events at church, but the most important thing is that we have a gratitude for our Savior, and because of our Savior, we rejoice and are happy. There are churches that doesn't have the Lord, but only carols. But we have to know why our Lord came down to this earth, why He sacrificed. We have to feel deeply in our heart, and that should be the source of joy. And based on that heart, I mean, in December we are happy hearing. May you once again engrave in your heart the true meaning of Christmas and confess from your heart, glory to God and peace on earth. I wish you a meaningful Christmas by making the good news, bringing true peace, known more widely. The incident from today's passage took place in the vicinity of Bethlehem about 2,000 years ago, in the middle of a silent night. When twinkling stars were beautifully decorating the sky, an angel appeared to some shepherds and made a startling announcement. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. Then how was it that the birth of Jesus brought glory to God, and how does it give peace among men with whom He is pleased? If you figure out the spiritual meaning embedded in it and act accordingly, you can give glory to God in all affairs and live in perfect peace with God, pleased with you. If you don't know the meaning, if you just think, it's glory to God, it's joy to us. But if you really, truly know the meaning and engrave it in your heart and live with gratitude, you will receive a different level of grace and inspiration on that day. First, let us explore how the birth of Jesus brought glory to God. It's because Jesus, the Son of God, came down to this earth and completely fulfilled God's providence of salvation. When God created the first man, Adam, He molded him according to His image and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Then, man became a living spirit who can breathe and move around. After creating the Garden of Eden in the second heaven, God brought Adam there, allowing him to communicate with Him. Garden is not a small hill, but in the part of the second heaven, God specifically prepared a place, and God brought men there and allowed them to live in there. And that place is called the Garden of Eden. It doesn't refer to some hill or a little mountain. You know, in the second heaven, on earth, we are living in the first heaven, and in the second heaven, this is a different world. In that world, God created the Garden of Eden, and God brought Adam there and allowed him to communicate with him. This is before he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the garden, Adam ate all kinds of beautiful fruits, including those from the trees of life, without having to labor at all. But he was not allowed to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Back in the garden, Adam was like a newborn baby who had no knowledge. Back in the garden, Adam was like a newborn baby who had no knowledge contained in him. It's not that God created Adam to be a physical baby. Adam was like an adult in physical form, but he was like a But his heart, his mind, before sin entered man, and anyway, our heart, our mind, our soul, baby's soul, mind, and heart is like empty. They cry for food as they do according to their instinct. When they cry, they expect their mothers to, they have no thought. They have nothing in their heart, mind. It's like a state of nothingness. But as he learns little by little, as he grows up, he feels and experiences, and it forms his soul. Adam was the same. Even though Adam was in adult form, but his heart was like empty state. He was nothingness. Walking with this Adam, God taught him about himself, everything in the universe, and the laws of spiritual realm so he could become qualified as the Lord of all creation. This Adam, the Adam, Garden of Eden is the second heaven and the earth is in the first heaven. Adam had a great power to control the first heaven and second heaven, and God told Adam everything, how to do that. Having been taught only goodness and truth by God, he obeyed the word of God as a spiritual man. But here, spiritual man doesn't mean a man of spirit who have cast off sins and evil. A little different definition. Adam. So, but after there's no sins and evil in Garden of Eden, before they ate from the tree, there was no evil, quarrel and envy and jealousy. They had only truth. So they had their hearts filled with the truth, and they lived by the word of God. And as well, they only had happiness filled in their hearts. They didn't have to labor. They didn't have to sweat in labor. Garden of Eden. But Adam, but after the passing of a long time, Adam and Eve were deceived by a serpent and ate the forbidden fruit. God forbade him from eating from the tree, but after a long time, after a long time, God's word remains the same, but meant don't. And Satan was, as Satan deceived Adam and Eve, they ended up eating from the tree. As said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, "But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." And as God declared, they really died. What died? Novice believers may wonder, Adam didn't die after eating from the tree. After being, you know, Adam, even after being driven away from the Garden of Eden, Adam and his offspring still lived. But as the Bible said that they would surely die, they wondered. That means their spirits died. It doesn't refer to their bodies, but their spirits. With their spirits dead, they were cut off from God, and they couldn't communicate with Him. As that's what God meant when He said, "You will surely die." God, we have our body, and we recognize others by with our bodies, but not just our body, but we have our character, we have our deeds, we have our words and thoughts and heart. This is what truly shapes us. And, you know, in a movie, there is this scene that another spirit comes into another person's body and he acts a totally different way and he doesn't know who he and because the spirit, which is more important than the body, entered into his body, based on that fact, we can tell that not only do we have a body, but we have our soul and spirit. We have to be aware of this. We are composed of spirit, soul, and body. And our bodies are just, and our souls is our thoughts. And our spirit is our master with which we can communicate with God. Once our spirit is alive, we can communicate with God and learn the truth and receive salvation. But if our spirit is dead, we don't even believe Him. We don't know Him. Even when we hear the truth, we cannot believe it. Only people, before they accept the Lord, their soul is their master. Their soul is their master, and they live like that. What controls their thought? God controls our spirit, but what controls the soul is the enemy devil, the Satan. controls their soul. So they incite them to commit sins and do evil because their soul is their master. Even while they sin, so that's why they sin and tend towards death. But once our spirit arrives, we can communicate with God and live in goodness so we can arrive at salvation. We have to make that happen. But after Adam committed sin, his spirit died. And as Romans chapter 6 verse 16 tells us, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? After they heard and obeyed the voice of Satan, they became slaves to sins. They disobeyed God's word and obeyed the word of Satan. Their communication with God was cut off and they became linked to Satan. As they became the slaves to sins, they and according to the spiritual law, the wages of sin is death. Adam and his offspring all ended up on the path to eternal death. Adam disobeyed God's word. He ate from the tree of the knowledge. As a result, his communication with God was cut off and his spirit died. And in the second, he was driven away from the second heaven and came down to this earth and live a life with his spirit dead. Satan controlled his heart, his soul, and he became the slaves to sins, and they also had to live a painful life with all kinds of diseases, disasters, poverty, grief, etc. But our God of love never gave up on man who couldn't dare come before him and couldn't receive salvation because of sins. This is the creation of God. And as I talk about the creation of God, the creation of the world and Garden of Eden, you may think, why, just because Adam ate from the tree once, why did he be driven out? You should not have a misunderstanding. God gave him a lot of love. God gave him power to control all things and control all animals. He gave him a lot of authority and power and poured out abundant love. But he only prevented him from doing one thing, which is eating from the tree of the knowledge. But Adam obeyed Satan, the enemy devil, which is the ruler of the darkness. So, and through that disobedience, God knew all this. This was all part of his plan for the human cultivation, and God knew all this. And God didn't let us just head for death. Isaiah chapter 49 verse 15 writes, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will never forget you." God prepared a way of salvation before time began so that sinners can receive forgiveness and restore all the authority. In line with the spiritual law, God prepared his son Jesus, who was qualified to redeem mankind from sins and sent him to this earth when the time came. The reason that actually Jesus being our Savior was his plan from the beginning. And God, it's not that God planned to send Jesus after Adam sinned. It's not that God planned this afterwards, but even before he put the tree of the knowledge, he God planned everything, pre-planned everything. He planned, got the Son. Jesus is of God Himself and shares the origin with Him. We find in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, and He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus was with God even before time began, participated in the creation, and is one of the entities of the Trinity. But Jesus put on the flesh of man and came to this earth. This was like God clothing Himself in the image of His creature and coming down to this lowly earth. What an incredible incident. Then, why did Jesus have to come down to this earth as a man? Because man committed sins, only a sinless person was qualified to pay the price on his behalf. And only a sinless person can pay the price of sinners. And then, for this reason, Jesus had to come to this earth as a man, pay the price by suffering death, which is the wages of sin, and open the path of salvation. As I told you earlier, the wages of sin is death, and so Jesus died on our behalf, paying the price of sin. And whoever believes in this have salvation. In other words, we had to die, but Jesus died on our behalf. So He bought us by His death. You may wonder, He is a single person. How could He save the whole mankind? Because Jesus is sinless. Jesus, He is beyond just being righteous. He is completely blameless and spotless. And the power of His blood was strong enough to save all mankind. It was such an invaluable and perfect blood. And Jesus being our Savior, and the qualification of the Savior, and actually, this was part of God's secret providence of salvation. Darkness, light, sins, truth. There are spiritual laws related to them. There was depending on who we obey, we become their children. If we obey the darkness, we belong to the enemy devil. This is like a contract between the enemy devil and God. And when a person commits sins, he is on the way to death. If a person doesn't commit sins, he is going to eternal life. This is like a contract between God and enemy devil. And God prepared His only begotten Son in advance. And God knew that the Satan would violate the spiritual law, and by violation of the spiritual law, another law could be set up. This is the amazing wisdom of God. Such amazing wisdom is contained in the providence of salvation. So people on earth couldn't comprehend this amazing providence. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 say, "But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom with God, which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Even the enemy devil, the ruler of the world, didn't fully grasp the providence of salvation hidden since before time began. When man who was created according to God's image was deceived into eating the fruit and had to hand over all authority to the devil, how overjoyed and triumphant the enemy devil must have been. He It's my world, they must have thought. While man, his creatures, had to glorify God, they became slaves to the enemy devil and opposed God. How excited the enemy devil must have been. But God's providence didn't end there. And God's human cultivation didn't fail. Actually, this was the beginning. But the enemy devil didn't understand that. And the enemy devil also knew that he would. And the enemy devil didn't know the God's plan in detail. As said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and God prophesied in the Bible, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. God foretold that when the time came, if you want to capture a snake, how do you do that? Do you grab their tail? Once you grab their tail, they will bite you. You have to grab it by the head, and you have to attack their head. You have to attack his head. And God said that he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. After Adam and Eve ate from the tree, God declared this to the enemy devil. God foretold that when the time came, the Savior would be born of a woman, Israel, and that he would bruise the serpent's head, namely, shatter the power of the enemy devil and triumph. Even the enemy devil knew that because they heard this word of God, they were always nervous. They knew that the offspring of a woman would come out and bruise their head. That's why the enemy devil was, as the enemy devil knew this, whenever there was a person performing God's power, the enemy devil tried to kill him. The prophets of God, all of them suffered persecution except for Enoch. All of them suffered persecution. They were killed, they were persecuted and killed. This is what enemy devil did. At the time Jesus was born, after the Magi notify King Herod that they'd come to worship the king of the Jews, the king had all the babies under the ages of 2 killed. Satan incited King Herod. The king of the because the Magi told him that they were looking for the king of the Jews. So King Herod was afraid that he would lose his power. And so the Herod told the Magi that if they knew the place, they would have to tell them. And Herod had all the babies under the age of 2 killed. And when men of God manifest power, God's glory is revealed on the earth through men. The same goes for evil. Through evil men who are incited by the devil, they disgrace God. They kill the man of God. It was the same in Jesus' time. But God, but there was a chaos. Even after some time, the Magi didn't come to him. King Herod had all the babies under the age of 2 killed. This is a historical fact, and which means that the enemy devil knew that there will be someone who would shatter the power of death. The enemy devil wanted to have, but God kept it secret. Even while the enemy devil didn't know who he was, that's why all the babies under the age of 2 were killed. Such a tragic incident. But even despite evildoers showing evil, God's plan was not changed. And Jesus spent many years there and communicated with God and armed himself with the word. And after 3 years, he as Jesus conducted his ministry in earnest, the enemy desperately tried to kill him and ultimately had him die on the cross. At this point, the enemy devil must have it's the enemy devil who killed Jesus. But you may say, it's the enemy devil who killed Jesus on the cross. And Jesus harshly suffered death. And what did the enemy devil? The enemy devil must have thought, this world is ours, and they must have danced out of joy. And they had Jesus killed, but this was part of God's plan. Because there is the wages of sin is death. And God created man, and people who used to belong to God, they sinned. So they're and Jesus, and the enemy devil captured Jesus and had him killed. This is how violated the law of the spiritual realm. It was the enemy devil was entrapped by his own plot, expecting that if only it killed Jesus, it would have control over man forever. But it created a completely opposite situation. Jesus, who was utterly sinless, resurrected, shattering the power of death. The power of whoever believes in this fact and accepts the Lord are set free from sins and entitled to become God's children again. People who commit sins all belong to the enemy devil, and the enemy devil and violated the so those who believe in God belong to God again, because Satan violated the law of God, law of the spiritual realm. As we've already experienced the pain caused by sins, diseases, poverty, and sorrow, there are people around us who suffer death. Oh, as believers of God, we will die in peace, but it's not so with the unbelievers. And as we've already experienced pain caused by sins, diseases, poverty, and sorrow, once we realize the love of God through the Lord, we can appreciate His grace and love from the depths of our heart. Cultivating them on this earth, God had borne with sinners since the disobedience of Adam, but finally, He began gaining true children through Jesus. As the birth of Jesus itself was great glory to Father God, the heavenly hosts and angels also rejoiced together and sang, "Glory to God." We heard you learned about the words like, but we are going into details about the enemy devil's plot and. God knew everything and prepared our Lord before time began, and our Lord came down to this earth to save us, so we have to overflow with joy and happiness. And then this becomes glory to God. Having realized God's love and Jesus' sacrifice, we should no longer live as slaves to the enemy devil. From now on, we are to live in light and joyfully keep the word of God, thereby revealing God's glory in our lives. This is how believers who realize the true meaning of Christmas should live. Brothers and sisters, next, how does the birth of Jesus give peace among men with whom He is pleased? After the first man Adam sinned and got driven out to this earth, man gradually lost the image of God and became no different than animals as slaves to the enemy devil. Falling into the fire of hell after suffering with all kinds of trials and of tribulations is the destiny of sinners. So how could man carrying the heavy burden of sin have true peace both on earth and in the afterlife? Before this humanity, Jesus came to this earth, opening wide a door to salvation. So people who've accepted the Lord on this earth, namely those with whom God is pleased, have been given peace. The Lord has given us peace by resolving all kinds of life. Jesus, who is the Lord of all, was born in a humble stable and located in Bethlehem and laid on a manger, a feed box for animals. Jesus was born poor and suffered poverty to the point where He had nowhere to lay His head, thereby redeeming us from poverty. The Bible says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich." Therefore, as believers of Jesus Christ, we can enjoy a wealthy life as much as we act by the truth. And also, as Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 records, "But He was pierced for our transgressions, He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon Him, and by His scourging we are healed." Because Jesus bled wearing the crown of thorns and being flogged all over His body, we are healed of our diseases and infirmities. Therefore, whoever believes in Jesus Christ, repents of his sin, and walks in the truth can be healed of not only diseases, but disabilities like visual impairment, hearing loss, etc. Being sinless, Jesus died on the cross and even bore the punishment of death the sinners deserved. So eternal life has been promised us, his believers. As Jesus became an atoning sacrifice, true peace had came upon this earth. Originally, sinners can neither communicate with God nor call Him Father, but thanks to the precious blood of Jesus shed, we, who were enemies to God, having forgiven for all sins, had our dead spirit revived, made peace with God, and even enjoyed privileges as His children. The evidence is, the moment Jesus died, the veil of the temple was torn. The Bible says, Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit, and behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were spilled. In the sanctuary we are worshiping today, and there is a normally there are curtains on the altar. This is a But in the Old Testament time, people were not allowed into the temple. They couldn't were not allowed to enter the enter it. And what did they do? They just in the they were not allowed to enter the temple. But as Jesus, why, before we were sinners, sinners cannot come before God who is the light, and he cannot directly ask God to do something. In the past, they had Jesus forgave our sins, and so we can ask God in His name. We were given such power. The veil of the temple was torn in two. The wall between God and humanity was torn down, and peace was made. Regarding this, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20 say, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way with, by which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, and Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 says, for He Himself is our source, is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. And verse 16 tells us, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enemy. As the verses say, once we get forgiven through Jesus Christ and become righteous by faith, we obtain the incredible authority to become God's children. In turn, we can drive away and control the enemy devil, the forces of darkness. The Bible says, the Lord shall cause your enemies to rise, who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and will flee from you in seven ways. Namely, as much as we live out the word of God as His children, we can be blessed whether we come in or go out. Also, just as our soul prospers, everything goes well with us and we become healthy both spiritually and physically. Therefore, to those who have accepted the Lord, the birth of Jesus is the good news bringing true peace. If you indeed believe in this, you no longer need to let the issues of worldly fame, power, and wealth worry and bother you. As much as you keep and act by the word, you enjoy the blessings of wealth, good health, becoming the head, etc. So the only thing you have to do is obey. Most of all, once you trust in His promise of eternal heaven, you can overcome any problems with faith. May your each and every day abound in joy with faith, hope, and love from the Lord. Let me conclude the message. Would parents have anything for which they could sacrifice even their child, whom they consider more precious than their own lives? But our Father God gave up His only begotten Son, Jesus, whom He had exceedingly cherished, to be the atoning sacrifice, allowing us salvation and eternal life. By the love of Jesus, who abandoned all heavenly glory and gave up Himself to the point of being hung on the cross and shedding all His water and blood, we've been saved and headed to heaven. How could we possibly fathom His deep, broad, and great love and repay it? How should we honor Christmas, which is a day representing Jesus' precious sacrifice and God's amazing love? Through the following story, may you realize what our Lord wants you to do on Christmas. In a small village in Russia, there lived an old shoemaker who was kind-hearted and faithful. One night, before Christmas, an angel appeared to him in a dream and said, "Tomorrow, on Christmas, the Lord is going to visit you." Waking up the next day, the man cleaned up his house and waited for the Lord with coffee on his stove. But throughout the morning, the Lord didn't come. Instead, he saw a sanitation worker in front of his house. The old man brought him in, saying, "Why don't you come in? It's cold today. You better warm yourself up with a cup of coffee." Even in the afternoon, the Lord was not visiting, but he saw a woman in shabby clothing carrying her baby. He was looking out the window, waiting for the Lord. The man took pity on her and told her to come in. He had her baby warm up his feet, which were almost frozen near the stove. He then brought him tiny shoes, which he made the previous day, and they fitted his feet perfectly. The woman and her baby went on their way with joy and gratitude on their faces. As the evening came, he warmed up his soup and bread for dinner. At this point, he saw a little kid who stole some fruits from an old lady getting caught and beaten. The old man pleaded with the lady, "It looks like he was terribly hungry. Please forgive him. I'll pay for the fruits for him." She forgave the kid, and he also said, "I am sorry." Then they happily walked together to somewhere. As the night was deep and the Lord hadn't arrived, the man said to himself with a smile, "A dream is a dream. A dream is just a dream." He lay on the bed to sleep. At that moment, he heard the voice which he heard from the dream. "Sir, you met the Lord, didn't you?" The man asked back, "Where was he? Was he here?" The angel replied, "He visited you 3 times today as a sanitation worker, as a woman with her baby, and lastly, as a poor little kid. I really appreciate the love you demonstrated to the Lord." This is a made-up story, but Jesus also said something similar to this in Matthew chapter 25. The king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or and feed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" The king will answer and say to him, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." He said that caring for the sick, the poor, the wounded, and the neglected is serving him. Above all, sharing the good news of salvation with them is a way of bringing him joy and receiving his compliment. If the Lord were here with us, you would want to serve him. Even if you confess that you would want to serve him, but how are we treating other people? Do we just quarrel and show irritation and get angry? Then the Lord will say, "I hope you remember this and you treat everyone like you're doing with our Lord." He said that caring for the sick, the poor, the wounded, and the neglected is serving him. Above all, sharing the good news of salvation with them is the way to bringing him joy and receiving his compliment. Remembering Jesus' cry on the cross, "I am thirsty," we are to proclaim the good news to many souls going the way of death. This is the precious gift. As you celebrate the joyful and blessed Christmas, may you realize its true meaning and try harder to become the salt and light of the world. In doing so, I pray that you will become blessed believers who illuminate the dark world and win back the souls bought by the Lord's blood.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together, make their skins fully recover from burns, all burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.